Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Life Change Tea.
Why go to getthetea.com? Because this important news could change your life. Socrates made a statement saying that all disease starts in the gut. Take care of your gut, and well, the rest speaks for itself. Life Change Tea is a wonderful way to aid in your digestion. Brew it, steep it, drink it, and feel it go to work. We at Life Change Tea have been around for years helping people just like you feel better. Lots of testimonials and lots of happy people. Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Getthetea.com.
Alrighty. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for What the Hell Today. Today, the 8th of December, 2021. Happy Declaration of War Day, ladies and gentlemen. It's for you. It's like I'm speaking into the future because I have to record this the day before, obviously. So tomorrow, when you hear it, it will be the time I'm referring to. By the way, the winning lottery numbers, if you could send them back to me, I'd appreciate it. I'd split it with you 50-50, but send me back the winning lottery numbers since you're hearing this in the future. All right, there's a lot of things to get to. I want to get right into it, as always. Don't forget to go to patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. Enter to win the signed copy of Ben Carson's book or the signed copy of, who is the other one? Ken Starr, that's right. This is a great week, ladies and gentlemen. Ken Starr or Ben Carson. You're not getting those kind of autographs from other shows, I guarantee you. And while there, sign up for the Curse Show, the Week in Review, just even if you don't want to listen to it, to help the program. As it is Wednesday, I'm trying to rush through this as quickly as possible to get to the program. As it is Wednesday, we get to the point where we have a nice conversation with our sponsor, Ronnie McMullen, at getthetea.com. We go to that now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. The one and only Ronnie McMullen, the proprietor of the great getthetea.com, the guy who brings you life change tea that many of you have had your lives changed by. How are you, Ronnie?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Derek?
I can't I will complain, but later. That's what the show is basically, me complaining. But I'm not going to complain to you, because when it comes to Get the Tea at Life Change Tea at getthetea.com, I got nothing to complain about. So what do you have for us in store for December?
Well, it started Black Friday, and it's going to go through December. And it is buy two packages of our famous tea, our digestive helping wonderful tea. It is an herbal drink. Buy two packages, which is 2 months worth. You're going to get a third month absolutely free. And if you put Derek in the coupon code, hit apply, you're going to get free shipping on top of that. And yes, Merry Christmas to you.
Good Lord. That's like, what is that, 33% off and free shipping? I'm going to go get some more right now, Ronnie. Thank you. Good Lord. That is, you know, the stocking stuffer, maybe not for the kids, but certainly for the grouchy husband who maybe is dragging butt around the middle of the day going, what? I'm eating right. What's going on? That's where Life Change Tea comes in, cleans you out, allows you to digest, absorb more of the nutrition from the food that you eat, puts more pep in your step, and then you can maybe get his lazy butt off the couch. Ronnie, awesome deal. Great way to end the year. Thanks for coming on, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Love, Ronnie McMullen. Go to getthetea.com and get the damn tea. Don't forget promo code Derek. Okay, let us do the rest of the show. Action-packed, as always, because the stupidity is unrelenting. The stupidity is absolutely unrelenting. It is frightening. It's Terminator-esque in its willingness to keep pushing forward. And we've got to start off with the Biden administration. This morning I wake up, right away, but while I'm doing show prep, I'm looking at the Twitter machine, and I see a tweet out there that actually rings pretty true to me. Liz Mayer is a political consultant, libertarian, semi-conservative political consultant. I think her biggest claim to fame is, I believe, Devin Nunes is suing her for like a couple $100 million for defamation or whatever. I could be wrong about that. But she tweeted out the other day a screen capture from an Axios story, and the following words, quote, "Today the grocery store had, and I am not joking, fewer than 20 tins of cat food, of any variety. And PetSmart was real low, too." And this is the president's answer talking about Cabbage Patch Dolls. Are you blanking kidding me? And in the Axios story, it says, "In the final weeks of the 2021 holiday shopping season, President Biden has mounted a Cabbage Patch offensive, trying to diminish Americans' anxiety about the pandemic shortages and price spikes by recalling past runs on toys," Axios's Glenn Johnson writes. Now, I read this, and I was like, what? What are you talking about? How is this even possible? So I did a little bit of searching, a little bit of Googling. I managed to find, well, Joe Biden on December 1st, talking about empty stores and Christmas. And this is part of what is impact. Because I tell you, the pet food thing rings true to me. On Sunday, is it Sunday? Yeah, it was Sunday. On Sunday, I packed up the family truckster because we were running low on cat food. And the girls wanted, the kids wanted to see, you know, kittens. So the pet stores, the PetSmart near us, has kittens. So I said, well, all right, you want to come with? You can come with and you can stare at kittens. I knew what I shouldn't have done it. I knew what I was getting into because for the rest of the day, it was, I want the kitten, and I was crying. But anyway, we went there because we were running low on cat food. And the last time we were running low on cat food, I went looking for cat food and had difficulty finding it. Had to go to three different stores. Cats are such a pain in the butt. But they'll eat the hard food, but they prefer the wet food, and they'll only eat certain wet food. And if you buy the wrong wet food, you just might as well set money on fire. So I know not to buy they've trained me well. It's pathetic, I know, but they've trained me well. So I went out, and I eventually found what we needed the previous time. So I thought, oh, I'm going to have to go to a couple of stores here. This is going to be a pain. So we go to the PetSmart, and the wife takes the kids over to the kitten area, and I can hear them screaming throughout the store about how they want this cat, and they want the other cat, and they want all the kittens. And I went, and luckily I found two cases, like 24 tins each, of the cat food. One of the few cat foods that the cats will eat. So I snatched them both up. It's like, oh, all right, well, now we don't have to go anyplace else. This is awesome. But the shelves were not bare, certainly not completely bare. And not bare of hard food. So maybe it's just wet food that's overseas. I don't know. But they were not fully stocked, not anywhere near fully stocked. You would have thought it was a Black Friday sale for something other than pet food, because who would make a run on pet food? But so this rings true to me. I've seen this firsthand. I have witnessed it and experienced it myself. But the Cabbage Patch stuff, I didn't get. So on December 1st, Joe Biden was talking about empty stores, right? Because people are, it's not, if you go to a Target, there's stuff. You go to a grocery store, there's stuff. It's just, you know, what used to be fully stocked shelves are 25% stocked shelves. Some spaces are empty. Some things are full. But there's just not what there normally is because of the Biden administration's handling of the economy, the supply chain disasters, and the pandemic, their horrible, horrible handling of the pandemic. So I looked up this audio. And on December 1st, like I said, Joe Biden's talking to the American people about empty store shelves.
If you watch the news recently, you might think the shelves in all our stores are empty across the country, that parents won't be able to get presents for their children on holidays this holiday season. But here's the deal. For the vast majority of the country, that's not what's happening.
Now, isn't that reassuring? Now, here's the deal. Now, Joe, that's your saying. If you see the video of this, he is staring in a very terrified way, the way that he does when he's reading a teleprompter and he's been told, lectured by staff, do not deviate from a single letter on the teleprompter. So he's staring at it. And it's so wild. I don't know why it's so wildly insincere. And it's not a whole lot going on, right? You should be able to, a normal person would be able to remember this. It's not hard, not complicated. A little cheat sheet might be all that is needed. But then again, the average person isn't suffering from late stages of dementia. So what are you going to do? Then comes the Cabbage Patch bit. Because, like I said, I was reading Liz Mayer's tweet and a screen capture from Axios, and I said he couldn't have possibly have done this. As parents are, you know, let's just listen to it, and I'll talk about it when it's done.
Can't promise that every person will get every gift they want on time. Only Santa Claus can keep that promise. But there are items every year that sell out that are hard to find. Some of you moms and dads may remember Cabbage Patch Kids back in the 80s or Beanie Babies in the 90s or other toys that have run out at Christmas time in past years when there was no supply chain problem.
Yeah, because those were market forces. That was the people were snatching them up as quickly as they became available. The problem is your bad policies are making things not available, Joe. That's the difference. It was demand spiking. Demand isn't spiking. The population of the United States of America didn't decide to suddenly go, you know what? I want cans of Alpo under the Christmas tree. I want it. No, it's not the that's not what happened. Or, you know what would be great under the Christmas tree? A steak. It's your shoddy management of this. It is your horrible decisions as a president of the United States in hiring someone like Pete Buttigieg to oversee transportation. My God, are you kidding me? His biggest qualification is he had a Tonka truck when he was a kid. Oh yeah, no, he'll handle it. Roads and bridges. He once built a bridge out of Legos. So what could be more qualifying? Well, I don't know. Everything? Every single damn thing, Joe? But to bring up for those parents out there who are like, you know, I really wanted to get Junior something for Christmas, but I can't find it, I can't get it, and you're mad, and Joe Biden saying, well, it's just like the Cabbage Patch Kids. Cabbage Patch Kids were not in short supply because of government incompetence. Beanie Babies were not in short supply because of government incompetence. The Cabbage Patch Kids were in short supply because people wanted them so desperately. I would say the Beanie Babies were in short supply because of consumer incompetence. But that's beside the point. That's market forces. It's just such a weird thing that those things went crazy expensive. But that's a huge difference than what we have now. If your kid wants a Lego, I went to Target last week. You go through the Target toy section, which you have to do just to see what's going on if you got kids. You notice the Lego sets. Oh, there's Lego sets. There are Lego sets. There's a lot of spaces where there aren't Lego sets, but there are Lego sets. There's one Lego set of this one and one of that one and maybe two of the other one. Sparsely populating these shelves, which are made for several more Lego sets. That is not because just over the weekend there was a massive rush on parents going, oh my God, Junior wants Legos. It's because most of the Legos that would normally be on those shelves are sitting off the West Coast on ships waiting to be unloaded because, thanks to liberal policies in California and the federal government, they can't get enough truck drivers to drive them around. It's true. It's true. They can't get enough truck drivers. That's the problem with the supply chain. It's not like the stuff isn't being made. The stuff that we get from Asia, not just China, but from all of Asia is being made. People are at work. People are making all the plastic junk and all the metal junk and all the everything junk and the electronics. They might be slowing down now because they don't have places to put the stuff. But there was no shortage of manufacturing. It was all incompetence on our end. And that incompetence was from and is from the Biden administration. So Joe Biden can sit there and blame anything he wants for why you are not going to find what you're looking for or might not find what you're looking for or are going to have to pay more than you otherwise would this Christmas, because if your kid really wants something and you're like, well, it's the one thing they asked me for, I got to do it, you're more than likely going to have to go to eBay or some other online portal or overseas if it's available in someplace else and you can order it online. I recently ordered something from Amazon Japan. It showed up. It was kind of surprising because it was mostly going by where the buttons were. I don't speak Japanese. Some of the words were in English, but it was like, all right, well, this is the add to your shopping cart thing. This is the where you put in all your billing info. And I felt my way through it, and the thing showed up. So maybe I secretly read Japanese. I don't know. But it is government incompetence that is causing these problems. The state of California passed a law making contractors full-time employees. It's stupid. Stupid. Contractors are contractors. People want contracting work. The vast majority of people who do contracting work want contracting work. Yes, there are some people who do contracting work who wish they could be full-time employees. And you know what? If they do a damn fine job at it and they do it long enough and they do it well enough, they will likely become full-time employees if the company hires full-time employees at all. The problem is when you artificially make everybody a full-time employee, there are certain legal obligations that come along with that. Tax liabilities increase exponentially. Healthcare costs are added to the mix. And suddenly, having an employee who does, so they're having somebody who does something, becomes much more expensive. So you hire fewer people, right? Also, you have expectations of those people that you hire. If you're going to have to pay somebody full-time and pay their health benefits, they don't get to work when they want. They don't get to take their leisure. You want 40 hours out of them. Well, for some people, contractors, 40 hours isn't an option. They don't want 40 hours. They don't need 40 hours. Whatever it is, they have another job. This is sort of a side thing that they do. So they're going to stop doing it. That leads, again, to more of a shortage. Artificially created. It is not a genuine shortage. So then the stuff on the docks builds up. The stuff on the docks piles up. The stuff on the docks sits there and possibly rots. You can't forget, everything, and even in a can, has an expiration date. Canned cat food, canned dog food, canned beans, whatever it is, they have an expiration date. If it spends 6 months on the docks in a container, now the expiration date might be 2 years away, it's now suddenly, you know, one quarter of its shelf life gone. Those things have to be replaced. Those things have to be replenished. When you've got Secretary Mayor Pete in charge of making sure that that happens, do you have any faith in the concept of that happening? He's shown complete incompetence so far, and Joe Biden is sticking with him. Joe Biden hasn't even said, all right, well, Pete, we're gonna keep you on as a figurehead because you were really only hired because you're gay. You checked a box. So we were pandering to gay people when we hired you. But we're going to appoint a supply chain czar who's going to actually be the person in charge. That's what smart people do. You can hire the person who says, all right, give me credit for hiring this person, even though you don't deserve it. It's really anti-American to hire somebody based on that garbage. But you can do it. If you remember back in the Obama administration, the Obama-Biden administration, they did just that. They did just that with Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton Jr. III. What am I talking about? Hillary Clinton was appointed Secretary of State, right? Secretary of State oversees American foreign policy and relations with other countries. But then, since she had no experience whatsoever, and not even really the mentality, the temperament to deal with that diplomatically, I don't think she's a very diplomatic person at all, and probably hadn't heard the word no in the better part of 30 years. They appointed George Mitchell, former senator, to be their Middle East liaison. Yeah, they had a dealing with the Palestinians and Israel czar, which is right in the wheelhouse of the Secretary of State normally, but they knew that Hillary couldn't do it. She wasn't up to the task. She didn't want to try because she didn't know what she was doing. It's a dicey situation and nobody's really going to work it out. So she didn't want to have that on her resume when she was getting ready to run for president when Obama's time was up. So she passed on it and they passed on her. And they appointed somebody else who had some experience to do it. To my mind, you sit there and you go, well, why the hell would you hire somebody to be Secretary of State who can't do the job, can't do all of the job? But then you've got to realize you're dealing with identity politics and tokenism on the left, and that's where they live. That's what we have with the Secretary of Transportation and Secretary Mayor Pete. It's not just Secretary Mayor Pete. We have it with Jennifer Granholm, Secretary of Energy. She has no experience whatsoever in the field of energy, yet she's just sitting there going, well, oil prices are up because of, or gas prices are up because of OPEC. It's OPEC's fault, not ours. And you have Javier Becerra, or Baccaria, as Joe Biden calls him, over at Health and Human Services, a lawyer with the former attorney general of the state of California, absolutely zero experience in health policy, and he's now in charge of health policy because he checks certain boxes. This is the problem with progressivism. This is the problem with being anti-merit. When you go to the store today to buy something and you can't find it, that's another part of the problem. That's the Democrats for you. I just noticed this from the Washington Free Beacon. The report apparently is out now. Biden Judicial Commission rejects court packing term limits. Remember that? Remember when Joe Biden was like, I don't support court packing, and the left wing base said, this is an outrage. And he said, but I could look into it. I might consider it. All right, fine. I thought this was going to be the way to get their will. And believe me, this commission's report, it won't matter ultimately. I was talking to my dad last night, and he brought up how the Democrats are going to freak out if anything goes with this Mississippi case and the 15-week abortion ban. Like, make up your mind in 4 months or it's too late. And, you know, the rest of the Western world, the rest of the civilized world has like a 12-week abortion ban. They have a 12-week abortion ban. So it wouldn't be out. The left always says, we got to be more like Europe. And, well, Europe actually has much stricter abortion laws than the United States does. But they don't want that. They don't tell you that. But if the court comes down on the side of the state saying, you know, you can, you know, decide that 15 weeks is enough, that seems rational and logical. The left is going to freak out, and Katie barred the door. All holds barred. No holds barred. Everything will go crazy because they will. That's their sacred cow. This is their church, basically. This and climate change. So they will then, even though this panel says don't do it, they will then pack the courts. They will then kill the filibuster on everything. They will go absolutely crazy. The story from the Washington Free Beacon. President Joe Biden's Supreme Court Commission dashed progressive hopes Monday when it refused to endorse court packing or term limits for justices. The commission's final report acknowledges profound disagreements over what direction the court should take in the future, but makes no specific recommendations. God, is it not just like a government, like a bureaucrat? We're going to study this. Okay, you studied it. Now you're presumably like the expert on this. What do you say? I have no firm opinions either way. Well, what in the hell did you do? Well, I collected a giant government paycheck for a while for a no-show job where the conclusion was already foregone. What do you expect me to do? The commission will vote to adopt the report and send it to Biden during its last scheduled meeting on today. Well, Tuesday on today. The Fisher in the court packing push could be especially bitter for the far left, given the content of the court's docket this term. The justices signaled last week that they may overturn Roe v. Wade. Just never spike. You never know how these people are going to vote, so don't ever think anything. This summer, and gun rights advocates are hopeful that the court will expand concealed carry rights in a Second Amendment case it heard in November. The commission's report states flatly that it takes no position on court expansion. The report acknowledges Congress could tinker with the court's size at any time, but it notes The most forceful argument for expanding the court, such as maintaining public confidence in the institution, can also be used in support of the status quo. Now, how the hell is a forceful argument? How is it a forceful argument? We must, the court must maintain the public's confidence. The only way to do that, well, the problem and the reason that it doesn't happen is because we have a political party who is hell-bent on undermining it. They need to undermine it. It's the only way to get their agenda through. They have justices on the left who ignore the Constitution of the United States and a media who portrays the ignoring of the Constitution of the United States as a normal, good thing. More, please. Yes, sir, may I have another kind of stuff? That's the problem. That's the real problem here, is that these people are out there talking about things they know nothing about, lying to the American public about what is going on. And you can see it in the framing of the abortion argument. Republican members of the conservative members of the court are considering decimating abortion rights in this country. No, first of all, that's not what's going on at all. Secondly, once you start looking to the government to grant you rights, and you accept that concept, and that's the basis of liberalism, is that the government can grant you rights and should be the one that grants you rights. If you go, all right, the government grants us rights, then you have literally no argument against the government taking those rights, rescinding those rights. If government grants rights, then government can take them away. Government granteth, government taketh away. The way that our government is set up, the way our Constitution is written, is you're born with these rights. And our government is forbidden from messing with them. That's why, you know, Congress shall make no law, shall not be infringed. Those sorts of phrases do not, otherwise it'd be, so hereby Congress grants you the right to do X, Y, and Z. The left, the way that our government is set up, doesn't help the left, doesn't help consolidate power. They desperately want to consolidate power, and the way it's set up, it doesn't consolidate power. So they have a problem. We have a problem with a whole bunch of people who don't know the first damn thing about how our government works and what our government is supposed to do, and who look at government failure as, well, what we need is more government. Big government didn't work. Bigger government is the solution. That leads us to this protest today in Washington, D.C., called Shut Down D.C. is what it's called. It's an organization. They have a website. You can go look up there. If you just search Shutdown DC, you will find their website. It is shutdowndc.org. December 7th, shut down business as usual, their website says. In 2020, Democrats took control of the House, Senate, and the White House, promising to push a sweeping package of reforms, including massive spending on health care, climate justice, accountability for police, Supreme Court reform, housing, federal voting rights legislation, breaking down barriers to organizing unions, and statehood for the people of D.C. For the first 11 months of the year, much of that agenda has been stalled by a Republican filibuster in the Senate and inaction among a handful of centrists who are more concerned about their donors and special interests than about improving lives for people in our communities. As 2021 comes to a close, their manifesto continues. As 2021 comes to a close, the timeline for passing key pillars in the progressive agenda is rapidly waning. For too much of the Washington, D.C. establishment, it's still business as usual, with polite lunch meetings, press conferences, and inaction, while negotiations play out. If we want to win the breakthroughs we need in this moment, we need to disrupt business as usual and open up space for a new kind of politics. Well, Germany did your kind of politics in the 30s and the 40s. We don't need your kind of, we've already seen what it does. So what they're doing today is running around the nation's capital, basically fomenting an insurrection. It's a mob of people shutting down, trying to shut down the Capitol, shutting down streets around the Capitol, and the National Guard has not been mobilized. In fact, the Capitol Hill police have expressed, there's a, it's a First Amendment thing. People are allowed to do this. I mean, see, they're not conservatives. They're not conservative. You have a rally on the mall. If you had a permit for a rally on the mall next week, Nancy Pelosi would have already called out the SWAT team, and they would have been checking out snipers' nests along there just in case somebody got a little too excited. But a bunch of neo-Nazi leftist lunatics out there, no big deal. No big deal. Shutting down. Now, I want to play you some audio from their protest this morning. There's not a whole lot of audio from the protests I can play you this morning because they started at like 7:30. I think it was 7:10, actually, was the official start time. And I don't know if you know this or not, but a whole bunch of loser, unwashed, unshowered, unkempt leftists are not early risers. They're not. So this crowd of people was rather small as they started, but they were unfurling banners. It's like climate justice and remake America and destroy the blah, 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 all the things, defund the police, Black Lives Matter, every left-wing nut job thing you can possibly think of out there. And they're unfurling banners to block traffic. Now, it's funny, if you saw the video, is they're at some intersection somewhere up near Capitol Hill. And there's literally nobody's there. There's no traffic at all. They're not stopping any traffic. And you're like, well, maybe it's because it's early. I don't know. But if you look down the streets in the video in the background, you see a police car at every intersection a block away. And you go, oh, so these people are blocking traffic where there's no traffic because the police are diverting traffic before it even gets there. So they're not even successfully disrupting anything, at least as of this morning. Who knows where it'll go from there. But they, being leftists, have their, God, they love their chance. Don't they love their chance? It'd be nice if that somebody could, you know, for all the money that George Soros is throwing around these left-wing organizations, if he could specifically earmark something for some writers to come up with new left-wing chants. Because they don't chant, hey, hey, ho, ho, whatever else has got to go. That's it. They've been chanting that thing since like 1966. It's time to rest. But I can only play some of this because a lot of it, they're swearing in it because they're left-wingers. They're unshowered, they're losers, and they're angry because they're up early. But this was the scene in Washington, D.C. this morning. When indigenous lands are under attack, what do we do?
Rise up, fight back!
When waterways are under attack, what do we do?
Rise up, fight back!
When black communities are under attack, what do we do?
Rise up, fight back!
When black people are under attack, what do we do?
Rise up, fight back!
So what do we do?
Rise up, fight back!
So what do we do?
Rise up, fight back!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
If we don't get no justice! Thank you. If we don't get no justice!
We don't get no peace!
They don't get no peace! If we don't get no justice!
They don't get no peace!
If we don't get no justice!
They don't get no peace!
If the earth doesn't get no justice!
They don't get no peace!
If the earth doesn't get no justice!
They don't get no peace!
No
peace.
Whose streets?
Our streets.
Whose streets?
Our streets.
Yeah, our streets. You can hear the prepubescent white boy in the foreground. Oh, I better chant. We don't get no, they don't get no. Couple things. When black people are under attack, what do? We fight back. No, you don't. There's a lot of black people being killed in the city of Washington, D.C., you're not there about any of them. In fact, you want to defund the police. Chicago, again, nobody's standing up for Chicago. None of these leftist activists give a damn about Chicago. But they're like, oh, yeah, no, it sounds good, though. We can maybe put it on a bumper sticker and make a couple hundred bucks off of it. The other part is they didn't even know how to chant. If we don't get no justice, and for the first two times, we don't get no peace. Okay, so if you don't get what you want, you're not going to get what you want? Like, what? You're going to be punished? And then he corrected them. He said, they don't get no peace because you sound like idiots. If we don't get no justice, they don't get no peace. I'm not a left winger, but I know how these stupid chants go. Whose streets? Our streets. All right, great. Then how about you clean them? How about you clean them up? How about you help the junkies on them? How about you do something other than whining about how the government isn't doing enough for you? You know, something crazy like that, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Something productive. How about you do something productive? But that's not where the left is. That's not what the left does. That's not who they are. They don't have solutions. They find the power in the problems. Hey, remember the other day when Chris Cuomo got... I know you say it like that was years ago, but it's amazing how quickly CNN moves on. And it's funny how these people... If you watch CNN last week, what was it? It's Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo going, I love you, brother. You're the best. Oh, man, you know you're the best. You're absolutely the best. We're like two dudes who saved each other's lives and numb. No human beings could be closer. And then Cuomo gets fired. And you got to assume either the memo goes out or it's just implicit. That is like, hey, stop talking. Don't mention Chris Cuomo. You have to acknowledge that he's not there anymore. But that's it. None of this gushy stuff. Don't go crazy and don't start tweeting him messages going, I love Chris Cuomo. No, Don Lemon is like, Chris who? What? But there's a problem because Chris Cuomo was fired, we're told, because of what he did with his brother. It might also be that there were sexual harassment allegations or sexual misconduct, I guess is the phrase that the New York Times used, against him, but we don't know. That being said, it was the journalistic ethics that we were told, at least so far, that was the problem with Chris Cuomo. And you sit there and you go, journalistic ethics? What the hell are you talking about? Journalistic ethics, Chris Cuomo. But it's true. True story. True story. Well, if it was, in fact, the idea of Chrissy Fredo calling into his brother's strategy session for crisis management and using his position as a journalist, this was the supposedly the deal breaker, using his position as a journalist to dig up information on one, at least one of his brother Andrew's accusers, then Donnie Boy Lemon has got some issues himself. But weirdly, nobody at CNN is talking about this as of yet. Yesterday, and this is, you know, not a big fan of cameras in the courtroom, just because I think it creates a circus-type atmosphere. You put a camera out there, point a camera at one of my kids, and suddenly they'll be eating a sandwich, and the younger one, Bailey, will be starting mugging. She's three, and she immediately starts mugging for the camera, posing or you know, sticking her tongue out, whatever it is. She knows what's going on. You put and that's a three-year-old. Sadly, we all act like three-year-olds. If you put out a camera in a courtroom, suddenly the people will be pandering to the camera, playing to the camera. And that's not necessarily a good thing. So, but we don't have cameras in the Jussie Smollett trial, which is where I lament that we don't have cameras. Because as Fox News reports, there was an interesting development. There's a lot of interesting developments as Jussie took the stand yesterday in his own defense. Now, seems like he's opening himself up to a... His defense now seems to be, trust me over the... I think it's the Osundayev brothers. I think that's how you pronounce it. The Osundayev brothers. Take my word over theirs. That's it. He's calling them liars. They're calling him liars. Both could be true, whatever. But they're counting on Jussie being more believable and more credible than the two brothers who did the rehearsal beat up with Jussie on video. Like, if you got a rehearsal beat up of Jussie on video, I think that's the whole ball game. But Jussie thinks that a couple of, committing perjuries, he can convince people that they don't need to do that. Anyway, Fox reports Jussie Smollett, on trial for allegedly staging hate crimes against himself, testified Monday that he had correspondence with CNN's Don Lemon during the early parts of the Chicago Police Department's investigation into the incident. What? Yeah. And it wasn't like, hey, Jussie, come on my show. No, these were friendly text messages. Smollett, 39, testified that he received a text from Lemon supposedly relaying information that the Chicago Police Department didn't believe Smollett's account of what happened. Fox News' Matt Finn reported from the Windy City's courthouse. Reps for CNN and Lemon did not immediately respond to Fox News' request for comment. Now, this would be Don Lemon using his position in journalism to get inside information and then actually relay that information, convey that information to the subject of that information. That's wildly inappropriate, as wildly, if not more wildly inappropriate than what Chris Cuomo did. Because what Chris Cuomo was doing at the time was relaying information about a political hit at his brother. Shouldn't have been doing it, but he did it. This was a criminal investigation. The police were doubting a witness. Now, if you go in and you say to the witness, hey, they're kind of doubting your tail there, Jesse. What does that do? That puts them on notice. It makes sure that next interaction with the police, they have a lawyer present. They make sure that their story... It changes the dynamic dramatically if you know that you are now the subject of an investigation rather than the instigator of it, if you will. Don Lemon perverted the justice system. Now, why? Well, he and Jussie Smollett are friends. Whether they've dated, I don't know. They're both gay men. But Don Lemon made a big deal about Jussie Smollett and was a true believer in the idea that his hate crime hoax was real. Jussie Smollett is a black, gay black man. It's oppression. Had to be. Because Don Lemon is a gay black man. And every leftist loves to create in their own minds that they are victims of oppression. It'll be interesting to see if there was more information about that, whether or not CNN launches an investigation again into this, because this seems worthy of investigation. This could be, if they wanted it, and I don't think they want it, but CNN is getting new ownership. CNN is getting new ownership. That new ownership, if they look at this ratings rock, this ratings anchor, not in like it's anchored to it, but as in like it's weighting them down. If they want to look at this ratings destroyer and say, you know what, we've got to change how we do things. Now would be the perfect time. You got rid of Chris Cuomo. This could be the end to get rid of Don Lemon. That is 2/3 of the primetime lineup. Anderson Cooper's harmless, lefty, but harmless, and he has the stamp of 60 Minutes, so he's considered a serious journalist, certainly more of a journalist than either one of these two clowns are. This could be the perfect time to change the direction of CNN. Will they? I doubt it. Can they? Who knows? And with Chris Cuomo now suing, because he had a contract for like 3 or 4 more years at $6 million per, his lawyers are indicating that everything that Chris Cuomo did was fully known to Jeff Zucker, the head of CNN. And if that's the going to be their defense, Jeff Zucker knows whether or not it actually is true and whether or not there's anything in writing if it is true. Because it doesn't have to just, it can't just be true. Being true is one thing, but it also has to be provable. That's how leftists work. If it's true and there's a paper trail, then you watch for a settlement for Chris Cuomo. You watch for a settlement. If you get a settlement, because Chris Cuomo was fired for cause, and his cause was just. His cause was pretty damned obvious. He violated journalistic ethics. The case could be made that CNN doesn't uphold journalistic ethics against anybody else, and why should Chris Cuomo suffer? And that might be something for a jury to look at and interesting. But if they settle quickly with Chris Cuomo to make it go away, they're making it go away mostly because the truth is embarrassing to CNN, not because it's a nuisance lawsuit that they simply don't want to pay to defend against. That's not how it works in these multi-billion dollar corporations. This is somebody high up, possibly, most likely Jeff Zucker, said, yeah, there is a paper trail. I did know what he was doing. Screw it. Write him a check for $12 million and let him go on his business. Just a guess. My guesses are more right than not, though. So while the Don Lemon, I think, is a victim of identity politics, not a victim, because he's also the perp, but of identity politics. He wouldn't have known Jussie Smollett. Why would he know Jussie Smollett? Some dude on a TV show, an actor and a news guy, and whatever you want to call Don Lemon. They don't roll in the same circles. They shouldn't, except for now that the media, we've created this weird world where journalists are celebrities now. So I wrote in my book about how the worst thing to happen to journalism was Watergate. Not because I thought Nixon should have gotten away with it or anything like that. It's because Woodward and Bernstein became celebrities. They got rich and famous, and they got to, I don't know what Bob Woodward's dating history is, but Carl Bernstein was a bit of a man whore and dated some really famous, really good-looking women. Why and how, I don't know. He was a sort of a chud at the time, and he's only gotten worse, but it's true. It's true. Wildly successful women, smart women, funny women. He was married to Nora Ephron for a while. The movie Heartburn is about her marriage to him and how he's getting these great women and he's cheating on them too. I'm like, what? What is wrong? You're a bridge troll. What are you doing? But he did. That's what he did. And he was able to do that and empowered to do that because of the way that he'd become a celebrity with Bob Woodward after Watergate. That meant a whole bunch of other journalists go, oh, I want to be a celebrity too. And it wasn't like they wanted to be, they didn't join celebrity. They joined journalism because they wanted to be a celebrity. And then they became more sensationalistic. Journalism became more sensationalistic as they were striving to get the attention necessary to become a celebrity and get the women and get the money. Well, the editors used to hold them in check. Those editors that held them in check retired. People who wanted to be rich and famous became the editors now. They didn't realize their dreams, but they understood the dreams of other people who'd followed them into journalism for the same reasons. And they loosened the reins, so to speak, so that the standards of journalism went down. The sensationalism of journalism went up, and they became more celebrity than journalist. Then cable news came along, and suddenly they started signing up these people. Oh, you're a cable news contributor. Like, how can you be a serious journalist, non-biased, non-partisan journalist, when you type it out, but when you're on television commenting about what you typed out, giving your opinions that are clearly left-wing Democrat talking points, people are supposed to go, oh, all right, but that doesn't, the clear bias this person has does not in any way, shape, or form impact what they do behind a keyboard. It's not believable. It strains credulity, as they say. But this is the world that we live in now, where you can be, you don't even have to actually accomplish anything. You just got to get a byline and a contributor deal, and you're rich and famous. And you will get invited to parties. You will get invited to parties with B-list celebrities and C-list celebrities, and maybe even some A-list celebrities to go there. And you'll get to go to award shows and everything because of, you know, ultimately you all work for the same corporation because some major multinational corporation bought you and they also produce movies and TV shows and blah, blah, blah. And you end up in a situation where, hey, there's Don Lemon and Jussie Smollett at the same party. And all these tolerant liberals who look at you and you say, well, you guys should know each other. You're both gay and you're both black. Come on, you're both celebrities. You're both, well, come on, get together, go be friends. And I don't know if they ever dated or not, but they became friends. And Don Lemon is shooting them text messages with insider information that Smollett's lawyers didn't even have. That the police are starting to doubt this story of his. That could help him change his story, solidify his story, try and put pressure on other people to back up his story, whatever it is. If you act completely differently if you think you're getting away with it than you do when you know you're not. It is identity politics at its most disgusting. That's what Democrats do. That's who Democrats are nowadays. And now we have another example of this out of Texas. Well, actually, out of Washington, D.C., the Attorney General of the United States. And look, whatever you think of Mitch McConnell, and I'm not going to tell you what to think of Mitch McConnell. I would just say that I will be forever grateful that Mitch McConnell was the head of the Republicans in the United States Senate when he was the head of the Republicans in the United States Senate. Why? Because if not for Mitch McConnell, there is a real probability that Merrick Garland would be on the Supreme Court of the United States of America. Terrifying thought. Remember, we were told, what were we told by all these leftists at the time? Merrick Garland is a moderate, middle-of-the-road guy. Oh, my goodness, he's a consensus pick. He might have been nominated by a Republican, for all you know. It could have been, and he's a wonderful person, and Republicans should have no problem with him. Mitch McConnell saw through all of that, said, nope, not getting this guy through. We'll let the American public decide. And Donald Trump won the election, and we did not get Merrick Garland. And thank God for that. But since Joe Biden doesn't have any original ideas and Democrats don't have any original ideas, we get Merrick Garland as Attorney General of the United States of America. Yesterday, he announced that the Justice Department is suing over the gerrymandering of the redistricting maps, not of here in Maryland, where the Democrats have proudly and rather openly said, we're going to try and get rid of the only Republican left. The Republican we weren't able to get rid of last time, Congressman Andy Harris. We are going to, and they're drawing maps accordingly, and they're going to push their way through into law, and they'll override a governor veto. They will. They don't give a damn. Not that. They're not suing because of that. They're not taking a state that used to have three Republican members of the House of Representatives and clearly has a Republican contingency here in the state that will have no representation whatsoever. No, 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 no. The Justice Department doesn't give a damn about that. The Justice Department is suing the state of Texas, which was allocated two new congressional seats because of the census and the population growth in Texas. They're getting sued because the map that they drew down in Texas, according to the Lily White Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, does not have enough or adequate or whatever this white savior complex dude decides is necessary, does not have enough minority representation. It is not going to guarantee that people will be elected based on their skin color. I'm not kidding. Listen to the Attorney General of the United States talk about this.
Today, the Justice Department has filed suit against the state of Texas for violating Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. As the Supreme Court has observed, a core principle of our democracy is that, quote, voters should choose the representatives, not the other way around, close quote. Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act requires that state voting laws, including laws that draw electoral maps, provide eligible voters with an equal opportunity to participate in the democratic process and elect representatives of their choosing. The complaint we filed today alleges that Texas has violated Section 2 by creating redistricting plans that deny or abridge the rights of Latino and Black voters to vote on account of their race, color, or membership in a language minority group.
They're denying in Texas the right of Blacks and Hispanics to vote and elect Blacks and Hispanics. Why? Because Blacks and Hispanics can only vote or be represented by people who look like them? That's the belief. That is the left-wing belief. It's racist to the core right there. You couldn't possibly. There's no way. Well, then when I lived in Baltimore and was represented by Elijah Cummings, I had no I knew that I wasn't being represented. I knew I wasn't being represented. Elijah Cummings had nothing in common with what I believe. Nothing whatsoever. I like this country and I like the concept of individual liberty. But I had no idea that my very civil rights were being violated. Where do I go to get my I was oppressed by who was representing me check? Now, Merrick Garland was reading this like a hostage video off a teleprompter. He wasn't blinking. He was staring at it. It was a rather pathetic display, a disturbing display. And it seems to me that so many of these people in this administration, Biden, the president, the attorney general, essentially have their jobs so they can have their jobs. I think Joe Biden likes being president because he likes the trappings of being president. The trappings of being president are pretty good. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, you can't sleep, and you want an ice cream sundae? You call, pick up the phone, say, give me an ice cream sundae, and you get an ice cream sundae. You want a steak at any time, you get it. Whatever you want, whatever you need, there are people there to cater to you as president of the United States. It makes sense. You don't want the president of the United States going, I got to go to Safeway real quick because we're out of ice cream and I'm really got a hankering. No, you need the leader of the free world to sort of be free to do their job. But this guy doesn't seem to do anything related to his job, only when he absolutely has to. Same with the Attorney General of the United States. When you talk to Joe Biden or you hear Joe Biden talk, you think this guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. This guy doesn't know what's going on. When you hear the Attorney General, it doesn't seem like he knows what's going on either. It's bizarre. It's sad. It's pathetic. It's dangerous. It's divisive. It is an unequal application of the law. The gerrymandering going on here. I don't know what gerrymandering is going on in Texas, quite frankly, but I've seen the gerrymandering going on here in Maryland. When the Republicans sued over the last map that was redrawn in 2010, Tommy Carchetti, Governor Martin O'Malley, look it up. He was the inspiration for the Wire character of Tommy Carchetti, because they're very similar. O'Malley admitted under oath, yeah, we wanted to draw the map as best we could to eliminate as many Republicans as we could. They were able to eliminate two of the three Republican representatives with the map that they drew. And they were quite proud of it. And it was apparently perfectly legal. Justice Department didn't sue, nothing. Republicans sued and they lost. Now they are taking a run at the one remaining Republican. Where is the Justice Department's concern for conservatives, for Republicans in the state of Maryland being deliberately drawn out of existence? Being deliberately, it's not even like there's, well, it's a Democrat, I know people, libertarians mostly, say this, it's really stupid and it makes you sound dumb. There's no difference between the parties on anything. It's just two sides of the same coin. No, there's major differences. Maybe there didn't used to be, but now there are. And so you can, when I was represented by Elijah Cummings, there's no way in God, he didn't represent anything that I stood for. He didn't give a damn either, and I don't blame him. I wasn't going to vote for him no matter what. But now there's an even bigger chasm between the parties. So to say that, oh, this one doesn't matter, the other one doesn't matter, blah, 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 stop being, no. If you're the Attorney General of the United States, you shouldn't be looking at Texas and saying how many minorities are in this district. There aren't enough, because they won't then. We need to draw districts that will guarantee the election of someone of a specific color, somebody of a specific ethnicity. That is looking at a population and going, well, this is a majority black area. They'll vote for black people. That's it. The only person who can represent them is black people. That's it. Sad is, by and large, it works with Democrats. But it doesn't always work. Where I grew up in Detroit, majority black city by a lot, and they have a white mayor, Mayor Duggan. He just got reelected again. He is doing good things. You can see he's a Democrat, but they broke the mold over there when they said, we're going to vote for the white guy. They took a chance. It'd be nice and it'd be smart if other cities said, all right, we're going to try something. Didn't tell you, blind loyalty to radical leftist Democrats and identity politics and voting for people based on their skin color hasn't really worked in 50 years. Maybe we should try something else. Because I don't know what else it is. Maybe it's a 60-year threshold where somebody goes, all right, we're going to stop this. But according to the Justice Department and the Attorney General of the United States, that doesn't happen, that'll never happen, and that shouldn't happen, because you should really only elect people based on whether or not they look like you, and nothing more. You can hate Mitch McConnell all you want for any number of reasons, and God knows I have reasons that I could have issues with Mitch McConnell. But I'll give him a pass on damn near anything because he kept Merrick Garland off the Supreme Court. Think whatever you will of the man. He did a great service for this country doing that. As we wind it down here, Pearl Harbor Day, it's the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. That means that people, military, you got to assume, lived through Pearl Harbor. There are still some survivors. But they are, I got to imagine, at the oldest, youngest, 96. It's 80 years, maybe, because you hear stories all the time about how a bunch of 16-year-olds snuck in. They tend to be stories of people sneaking into the military, lying about their age, after Pearl Harbor, after the attack. But, you know, there's no way that people would do that today. So the youngest Pearl Harbor survivors right now, 96. I'd say they're closer to 97, 98. It was 80 years ago today. We're losing them very quickly. But Imperial Japan attacked the United States of America unprovoked. And you see this happen all the time. And you see it happen all the time on August the 6th, too, which is the anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima. The left in this country tries to justify everything. Well, it was not an unprovoked attack, really. The United States was engaging in hostilities with Japan. How? Well, they had introduced an oil embargo against Japan that was severely limited. Back then, Japan got most of its oil from the United States. Yeah, we used to produce energy in this country. They got most of their energy from the United States, and we had instituted this embargo, and it was just wrong. We were choking off the life and the economy and hurting the people of Japan. This wasn't happening in a vacuum, by the way. The leftists who make this argument, by the way, never tell you the circumstances under which it was happening, because Japan was also steamrolling across most of Asia at this time. Right? It wasn't just Japan was minding its own business and the United States said, well, to hell with these guys. Let's just cut them off of oil. No, we started lessening their supply in oil and choking off their supply of oil from us because they were using that oil to march across Asia. And not just march across Asia and say, hey, we're here. We're going to be nice to everybody. No, it was torture. You go to Korea and mention the Japanese, they just hate them. A lot of people who were alive at the time hate them. In China, same thing. Oh, you know, they lived through the Cultural Revolution and the Great Leap Forward and all the horrors of Mao and communism and everything. But you mention Japan, it's like, no, it's a different level of hatred. Because the Imperial Japanese were evil people. Look up the Bataan Death March to find out what they did to Americans. There's a reason that we don't talk about it in this country, because our leftist academics want to pretend it didn't exist. The only evil in the world is from evil whitey here in the United States, and nobody else can do any wrong. It's garbage. And if you find out that the rest of the world has been pretty horrible too, then it undercuts evil whitey. Anyway, on December 7th is the date that will live in infamy. On December 8th, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, President of the United States, went before the United States Congress, joint session, and asked them for a declaration of war. This is that speech.
Mr. Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense, but always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. I believe that I interpret the will of the Congress and of the people when I assert that we will not only defend ourselves to the uttermost, but will make it very certain that this form of treachery shall never again endanger us. Hostilities exist. There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God. I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
That's it. That was the President of the United States 80 years ago today. 2,403 Americans died in the attack on Pearl Harbor. 68 of those were civilians. Many of them were never recovered, the USS Arizona becoming their final resting place. Some people were trapped under the water in Pearl Harbor, tapping on the hull of their ship, but trapped. There was no way to get to them before they passed away. The Japanese did it. The Japanese paid the ultimate price. They thought that they could destroy our military and our will to fight with one fell swoop. They destroyed a big chunk of our Navy, not all of it, and they only instilled in us a will to fight. And fight them we did, and we beat them. A few days later, Germany declared war on us because of their treaty with Japan. We returned the favor then. We went on to kick their asses, too. 80 years ago. It's a long time ago. Probably not during your lifetime, but don't ever forget. You forget, and you do a disservice to those men and women who sacrificed so that we might be free. We are out of time for today. I appreciate the use of your ears. Have yourself a great one. Reconvene here again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Some of you moms and dads may remember Cabbage Patch Kids back in the 80s or Beanie Babies in the 90s.